Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8.53 British Summer Time. Today is October 23rd. Well, in the last couple of audios, David has been talking about the short-term overbought conditions that have been evident on Wall Street in particular, but on a number of stock markets. Well, today we saw the first evidence of some unwinding of those short-term overbought conditions. For example, in Europe, the Italian market was down by 2.38%, the Spanish market down by 1.84%, and those indices have rallied really very impressively over the last 4 weeks and had broken up in out of what have been almost two-year ranges, and that has been very positive action indeed. And we've seen that a large number of European indices have been breaking out of relatively lengthy consolidations. The Scandinavian markets have been outperforming, and you've seen that the Danish market in particular has been rallying very firmly. The Norwegian market has been very firm. The Swedish market and the Finnish markets have been all pushing onto new high ground. But regardless of how impressive their rallies have been, what we are presented with are short-term overbought conditions, and we are starting to see evidence of some softening in here. So we are in all likelihood moving into the next process of consolidation and at least partial mean reversion for some of the outperformers. This year the S&P has been among the best performers globally, and on a year-to-date basis the S&P 500 is up 22.4%, and on a currency adjusted basis the DAX in Germany is up about the same amount. The IBEX in Spain is up about 25%, even though it's down 1.8% today. Whereas the Nikkei on a currency adjusted basis is up about 23%, and the Hang Seng is pretty much unchanged, and the ASX is up about 6% year to date. When we look at these performances, and we can see that what we're presented with over the last year has been this process of ranging consolidations with some pretty impressive breakouts. And when we look at the S&P 500, when it has become approximately 150 points overextended relative to the 200-day moving average at any point this year, then it has moved into one of its periodic pullbacks. And as of yesterday's close, it was approximately 140 points overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. So it is due a consolidation. And if the pattern holds true, then it will represent at least a partial reversion back towards the mean and a retest of the progression of higher reaction lows, if indeed we do get a pullback from this level. When we look at some of the high flyers, then at Netflix, which has been doing so spectacularly well, pulled back really very sharply yesterday. And even though Warren Buffett has been trying to put a positive light on IBM's results, what we're looking at on IBM has been that the company has been having difficulty achieving top-line growth, and that it's been largely range-bound for the last year and broke down out of that range earlier this month. There's a progression of lower rally highs evident over the last 6 or 7 weeks, and if the medium-term bullish outlook is to be reaffirmed, then that short-term progression of lower rally highs being broken is the minimum requirement. And in the absence of that, we're looking at potentially a completed top in IBM. So there's a great deal of variability, and what has been the standout sector this year have been the industrials, and Boeing continues to be a leader in that sector, and the aeronautics sector generally is benefiting enormously from embedded processing and advances in technology that are really enhancing their productivity. So while we are presented with this short-term overbought condition in the stock market and the potential for some consolidation, we are also, I think most people are very conscious of the fact that we're still presented with this monetary tailwind. And in here today, US 10-year treasuries were relatively unchanged, up slightly on the day. The 30-year was up about 10, and both gilts and bunds were stronger by greater than a quarter of one full point. When we look at what has exactly been happening in these government bond prices, then they had become really quite oversold in the latter part of the summer. We've had this unwinding of the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average, and now we're coming back into that first area of potential resistance for some of these government bond prices, and it's a pretty similar situation for some of those government bond yields. And when we look on a total return basis at exactly what's been happening with some of those government bond yields, then we're right back to the first area of potential resistance. And if the 30-year bull market in US Treasuries has in fact ended, then we'll see that total return index encountering resistance at the lower side of the overhead trading range. So we have a little bit to go before that area is tested just yet. Fixed income investors have really learned the lesson that when buying bonds, the yield to maturity is perhaps the most important calculation one is going to do. And government bond or corporate bond funds don't have a yield to maturity. They're a straight play on capital appreciation. So fund managers are going to have to learn to be much more nimble in terms of their managing of duration of portfolios. And investors are going to have to turn into to become a little bit more active. When we think about how people have been interacting with the stock market over the last 13 years, then the buy and hold strategy that prevailed for much of the 1990s has given way to much more of a trader's attitude. And the proliferation of short-term trading funds certainly has fed on that volatility. And when we think about what's happening in bond markets, then we are presented with the winning strategy over the last 30 years has been buy and hold. And when one wanted to increase the position, it was to buy the dips. And people have been buying the dips in bond funds. And that has certainly helped to push them higher in here. But we've had this large pullback in terms of the performance of some of these bond funds. That is damaging to sentiment. And when we think about what is actually happening in terms of the monetary tailwind, it's still very much in evidence, but we do know that at some point it is going to be removed. And when it is removed, we've had a foretaste of what that's actually going to entail. And it does suggest that the buy-the-dip strategy that has been such a winning strategy for the last 30 years is unlikely to be rewarding in future, and that a significant rally in government bond prices or corporate bond prices from these levels can be viewed as a selling opportunity for those that are looking to lighten in bond positions. In the commodity markets, gold, having been really quite firm yesterday, was a little bit softer in here today and was down $6.41. And it continues to look like that it is in this ranging phase and support building phase above the $1,180 lows. The ETF holdings of gold continue to trend lower. And while they're not trending lower at nearly the same pace that they were in the early part of this year, it does suggest that institutional holdings of gold and anyone investing in ETFs remain net sellers. And considering that they have been the marginal buyers, that is a headwind for gold recovering in a meaningful way, at least while it's deteriorating. And in the energy markets, WTI was weaker today by an additional $1.40, and it's down to $96.89. And reformulated gasoline is down to the lower side of its range and testing the $2.50 area. And that range has been in evidence for nearly 3 years. And every time it's come back to this level, we've seen an upward dynamic, which has indicated that demand is returning in this area. And it isn't a rally like that would really be required to suggest that demand is returning again in this area. And while WTI was down almost 140, Brent crude was down over $2. And that's the largest downward dynamic we've seen in a while here for Brent crude, and does suggest that the energy prices are likely to come a bit lower in here. The industrial metal prices were a little bit mixed in here today. Copper, having been reasonably firm yesterday, was down 7 cents on the COMEX contract. And it's been ranging in the region and below the 200-day moving average for much of the last 6 weeks, and it really does need to push back above it to really suggest that demand is returning here in the lower side of this range. Elsewhere in the industrial metal markets, there is a lot of evidence of base formation development there. And we've seen some reasonably firm action in the majority of the industrial metals over the last couple of weeks. And it does suggest that the market has come back into an equilibrium, and that if we do start to get some form of bullish catalyst, then there is quite significant potential for them to rally from here, considering that we're at relatively depressed levels. When we look at the big picture, we're very much in a casino-type environment, and as long as the monetary tailwind remains in place, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to risk assets over the medium term. But when that monetary tailwind begins to change, then the liquidity-fueled rally that we've enjoyed for the last 4 years will begin to be called into question. And that is a medium-term worry out there on the horizon. We know that at some point tapering is going to be brought into effect, and that could be within the next 6 months. In the meantime, this short-term overbought condition is likely to be unwound, at least partially, and that will probably offer a buying opportunity with a couple of month window until we get the next overbought condition. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.